Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the weekend. There's a lot going on. Time to stock up and get there ASAP. Pickle bar, snacks, and you name the beverage, and they have it. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Let it be solar hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar. You can go to LenapeSolar.com. I'm at what Jack Ham refers to as the Chateau.
And Kevin and I are here at the overlooking the confluence of the north and west branches of the Susquehanna River, overlooking Brewers Outlet, I might add. And
you're overlooking a cornfield.
Well,
I've
that
been
too.
There, okay. And we're at the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street at Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, rooms 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin?
Hey, I just got some great news. Remember the one of the receivers that I was talking about that was questionable? Well, now he's expected to play, and my running back's expected to play. I'm very excited right now.
He's beside himself.
This was great news. And you know what, Steve? Do you know how I found out, Steve? I found out via Twitter.
Well, before we get to any of that magic, let's go back to the Big Ten Championship game. We heard from Matt LePay of Wisconsin, and now let's go to the other side. And let's hear from the play-by-play voice of Nebraska, Greg Sharp. Greg, welcome. Great to have you back on the show. And after the incredibly lopsided loss to Ohio State, Bo Pelini drew a line in the sand. They won out. What did you see in that response?
Well, I think this team matured. And I think this is a football program with 29 seniors. 24 of the 29 are fifth-year seniors. So it was a program that understood what the message was from Bo back in early October. And in truth, looking at how this thing played out, Nebraska needed to win out to win the division. I mean, it would have been difficult to not to drop a game and win this thing and get into Indianapolis. So I think Bo is just being realistic in a lot of ways that if Nebraska wanted to play for conference title, they needed to win every game to the finish line.
Obviously, every game was important to do it, including the Penn State game. But there was that win over Michigan that no matter what held the tiebreaker. That game played out where Nebraska played very well. Why did it play out so well that day?
Well, I think a couple things with the Michigan game. One, Denard gets hurt late first half, and it completely changed the makeup of the Michigan team, and they weren't prepared at that point in time. Why they weren't, I don't know, but the Wolverines were not prepared to have Devin Gardner step in and be the quarterback at that time, and so Nebraska gets this redshirt freshman kid by the name of Bellamy, who just was not up to the task of playing in a major game like that. But I think that was a real slugfest. Nebraska got a break when Denard went down with an injury, but as Bo Pelini pointed out after the game, Nebraska was missing a pretty good player in that game, too, in Rex Burkhead, who they got back last week. But obviously, in this divisional play, when you're facing the top teams in your half of the draw, you better beat them, because that tiebreaker oftentimes comes down to being the deciding point.
Rex Burkhead, you mentioned him. Amir Abdullah did really an outstanding job all season long. But what does it mean to the emotional psyche of Nebraska that Burkhead is in the mix?
It's huge. You know, I would equate it to Mouty with Penn State. I just think those are kind of your heartbeat guys. Everybody follows their lead. And Nebraska needed him last week in Iowa City. Down at the half, go to Burkhead. You practice all week. We were hoping to save you, but can you help us out here? And he jumped to the forefront and played fantastic in the second half and help lead this team to the win. It's a big boost, and at this time of the year, everybody's tired, aches and pains from a long season. If you can get that little bit of an emotional edge from having a guy back, it really helps a football program and a team, and I think Burkhead can supply that for Nebraska.
Thought Taylor Martinez was really, really good when I saw him last year. And it's almost hard to say, you talk about a guy really improving that's at already a high level. But I really thought he was a much better product this year on the field. What made him a better player in your estimation, Greg?
Steve, I think it's maturity. I think he's he's comfortable in his own skin now. He is comfortable leading this team, and you know he's now one of the veteran guys on this team, and they look up to him, and I think he's responded to that. He put in the work in the offseason. He went to the Manning camp. He went and got a quarterback guru to help him with some individual training things. So he did all of that on his own to make himself a better football player. That, and I just think the fact he's more comfortable in this offense and running it, and guys are looking up to him as the leader of this team. And, boy, Husker fans are certainly thrilled and excited that he's got one more year to play here in Lincoln.
He did a lot of things in the fourth quarter. What made this a very good fourth quarter team that is very difficult to put away?
Well, I think a lot of it's him. I think that he plays the same way whether Nebraska's up a couple of touchdowns or down a couple of touchdowns, and that's allowed Nebraska to have these amazing comebacks that they've had throughout the season. The one against the Nittany Lions, the one against Wisconsin earlier this year, and an amazing one against Northwestern in the fourth quarter with a couple of late scores to win it. So I think it's just the fact that he plays kind of the same whether he's ahead or behind, and that suits him well in those situations. That and the other element of it, Steve, and you've seen the Huskers play a couple times now, Nebraska plays at that kind of two-minute offense style the whole game, and so they're not out of rhythm. That's what they do. It's not unusual when they get late in games and they're running the same kind of speed and pace of offense that they do from the first snap of the game.
Give me the from the Nebraska defensive side, the fact that Martin's up front, Compton's in the middle, and Stafford's on that back line. To have a high-level player at each level, what has that meant to Bo's defense?
He's really kind of lined that up every year. He's had that kind of a ability to have almost an All-American-type caliber guy at all three levels. Now, the big thing for this game on Saturday is Nebraska loses Baker Steinkuhler, who was playing at an all-conference level at a D-tackle spot. He goes down in the Iowa game. He's out for this one. That's a big loss. But having a solid guy at each level of the defense is so huge, and Nebraska's been fortunate the last couple of years to have that same thing.
I know when we talked a few weeks ago, you talked about Brett Maher not quite being the same guy that we saw last year, but still, especially in a game that's indoors, what can he mean in this game field position-wise?
Yeah, he can be huge. I mean, he has been big in a lot of different games. I thought he was really big in the Penn State game when he flipped the field late with that huge punt. I think there's an advantage there for Nebraska in the kicking game against Wisconsin. And so many times when a lot of other elements may be even, the kicking game can make the difference. And Nebraska certainly hopes that may be the case Saturday night.
First time through, it was another one of those dramatic comeback games. Do you put, I mean, as somebody who's done four of these championship games before, have you ever put any stock in the first meeting? Has it ever meant anything in the second meeting in terms of a trend?
Well, it's interesting. And you mentioned I've called four of these, all in the Big 12, two at Kansas State, two at Nebraska. The two for Nebraska were not repeat games. We played Oklahoma one year. We did not face them in the regular season. We played Texas the other time and did not face them. The Kansas States, I had one matchup. It was Kansas State-Oklahoma matchup in 2000, and that was, we played them earlier in the year. I don't know. I think if you play them close together, a la a Stanford-UCLA, I think it can mean a lot. But we played Wisconsin, it seems like, 3 years ago. I mean, that was September 29th when we played the Badgers. So much has changed between then and now for both teams that while there are some similarities, well, obviously you do, I think that the makeup of the two teams is different. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a difference in this particular matchup, but when you play late in the season and then turn around and play in a title game, it certainly can be an adjustment.
Well, Greg, what do you see as some of the important factors in Saturday night's game that swings it one way or another, since you obviously have great knowledge of Nebraska and this is the second time through that you've seen Wisconsin?
Well, I think for the Wisconsin format is going to be let Nebraska make some mistakes, and the Huskers are a turnover-prone team, and I think that's what they're hanging their hat on, that Nebraska will make some mistakes and keep them in the game. For Nebraska, I think what they want to do is jump out early and make Wisconsin get out of script and out of their comfort zone, and that's try to come from behind. So if Nebraska can get an early advantage in a game, I think that's a huge step up for the Cornhuskers. Wisconsin just going to sit back and hope Nebraska makes mistakes and keeps them in the game.
Greg, thanks so much. Have a great call on Saturday night.
should be fun. Looking forward to it. I've not been to Lucas Oil Stadium, so I'm really anxious to go and view this venue.
Greg Sharp, the play-by-play voice of Nebraska. Kevin?
Yes, Mr. Jones?
Dazzling segment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Dave Leno, ESPN 3 on tomorrow's Penn State basketball game with Penn as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price at another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. And our tire rewards program gives you your next set of tires free. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Let's stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Sunbury Motors. sunburymotors.com. The winning team.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. We're at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. We go on the Lenape Solar Hotline now to talk to Dave Leno. ESPN 3 will be calling tomorrow's game on ESPN 3. Dave, Penn State, Penn, why don't you give us a read on Penn? Let's start there.
Yeah, well, I watched Penn play Binghamton. They did win that game. Penn is an Ivy League school, and as coincidence has it, I actually called the Villanova-Columbia game on the 20th, I believe, which was a Tuesday night. And Villanova is down this year. Everybody knows that. They lost two big players, Malik Wayans, to the NBA. He's playing with the Sixers, and Dominic Cheek left early. I don't believe he's playing in the NBA right now. So I've already called one upset. So the Ivy League is sneaky good, and Columbia is one of the top-tier teams. Penn is obviously not a Harvard, not a Cornell, not in that top bunch. Having said that, I think since 1950, they haven't won an Ivy League title in a span of maybe six seasons. So they haven't gone six seasons without capturing the crown. So there's a lot on the line for Penn. They're used to being at the top of the bunch. Right now they're in rebuilding mode. They lost three top guys from last year's unit. One of them, Zach Rosen, is playing professionally in Israel. Another one, Bernardini's the guy's last name, in Belcour. So you minus the top three guys for the Quakers, you're left with this guy named Fran Dougherty. Down low, averages close to a double-double. And also Miles Cartwright. When you watch them in person, if you're a fan coming down to the game tomorrow, they're a team that's not gonna, you're not gonna look at and say, "Wow, they're very big." But no, they're okay. They're not a bad squad this year if they can rely again on Dougherty down low. I expect a Penn State to double on him, because then you're gonna have Cartwright, you're gonna have this guy Jamal Lewis, and also Steve Renard try to contribute well. You're gonna see Penn bring in a lot of guys, and I think that's a little bit different from Penn State, at least watching the BC game. I think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, Steve, Penn State had maybe seven, eight guys in the lineup throughout the game. Penn is going to bring in about 11, maybe 12 guys. So they're still, you know, looking for an identity with the same as Penn State. So I think it's going to be a fast tempo pace between both teams, trying to sustain some momentum early on, but objectively, if you look on paper, I would say Penn State has the early edge.
Your thoughts on some of the keys in tomorrow's game?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I watched both these teams play against the 2-3 zone last game. I thought Penn State did a nice job against that. I know BC relied a lot on their freshmen and sophomores and got some early production. So, and listening to the announcers last game, and Tim McCormick, the color analyst who called the game with Clay Matzik on ESPNU, he wanted to see a little bit more of an up-tempo pace by Penn State. And I would have to agree. I would love to see them get up and down the floor a little bit faster, limited in fast break points last game. You know this Penn State team can go on massive runs. I believe in the second half you guys cut it to within single digits and very close to a tie score. I think you went on an 18-1 run with 2 minutes in just a two-minute-plus span. So that was remarkable to watch a young Penn State team without a Tim Frazier come back. So transition game number one for Penn State. If you look on the flip side for Penn, they're going to rely a lot, I believe, on their three-point shooting, and that's going to come from a guy like Cartwright. Dougherty is somebody who did not take any threes last year. This year he's fine-tuned that part of his game, especially as a big guy. Worked with a guy named Steve Danley in the offseason, as I read in the one of the Pennsylvania student papers, that really helped him develop that touch from the outside. And so Dougherty's a guy that I think is going to take some threes as well. And I think overall for Penn, if they can go deep in their bench and they can contribute with guys down low, maybe that might hurt Penn State a bit.
Just very quickly, how much you've enjoyed the ESPN 3 experience?
Yeah, well, it's for me, it's remarkable. As a younger guy in the business, I went to Indiana, so I am familiar with the Big Ten, and having lived, grown up about 3.5 hours away from Penn State, this is just a remarkable journey for me. I'm actually calling a game with ESPN3 at at the Bryce Jordan Center. I love the work, and what I think people need to understand about these ESPN3 things is there's no shortfalls between an ESPN3 show and maybe an ESPNU show. What I mean by that is you have your 4 or 5 camera setups, you have your replay, you have all your graphics, you have the whole crew. Some of these crew members are flying in from all over the country, of your big producers, directors. It's a great initiative that ESPN's doing. And it also helps not just the big schools like Penn State, but the smaller schools that maybe don't have a big TV package they can get online. It helps them recruiting-wise. And it also helps announcers like myself that are trying to break into the business and are trying to improve on their TV calls and trying to sustain some games with a network in the future. So for me, it's a dream that I've landed a couple games with them. I'm calling 6 games this fall. This is the 4th to 6th. I just did the Georgetown Mail and St. Mary's game at the Verizon Center. And the ESPN stuff is remarkable because, again, all going back to how there's nothing that they're taking away from a big show when you're considering this one. So it's remarkable, and I hope we do a good job for everybody watching online.
I look forward to seeing you shoot around tomorrow, Dave. Thank you so much for the time, and have a great broadcast tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Same with you.
All right. That is David Leon. He'll be working the game tomorrow at the Jordan Center between Penn State and Penn. So we appreciate Dave Leno for coming on.
Steve, I listened to your call of that Boston College game Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an incredible run that the Lions went on, as he indicated in the way you called it. It was like 18-1 over the space of little more than 2 minutes. And my question for tomorrow's game is, knowing that they are capable of that but yet play almost flat in other periods of time, can they recover from that Boston College loss to really put it to Penn tomorrow?
They can recover from it. That won't be the issue. But I think I don't think people should be lulled, though, into thinking that they can play 40 minutes like the 18-1 run. You physically can't do that.
No, that was an incredible piece of work, no question.
Right? You're not deep enough. Okay? You would have to have a 10-person rotation. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
A 10-person rotation of quality depth to pull that off, to play that hard that many minutes. So you have to pick your spots like that. But there are certain things in the game, for example, where you can get deflections, you can take charges, you can do all sorts of things that put you in a spot to win a game where you can consistently do it over 40 minutes. Now, the bees in a bonnet thing, no. You can't do that for the entire 40 minutes because you will run out of gas and to the point where you'll be so fatigued, you won't be able to do anything. You just won't be able to. So you have to pick your spots to do that. But the most important thing is, number one, they had a great shoot-around on Wednesday. I was there. They had a great shoot-around. Not good. They had a great shoot-around. I mean, I'm talking about attentive, you know, making the right read, right rotation, everything. And yet, again, they get off to a slow start. They've only had one great first half this year, and that was against Akron the day Tim Frazier got hurt. Yeah, they played so well that Patrick Chambers looked around and said, you know, this is the team that I think can be really, really good. That's the only one. They're only averaging 24 points per first half.
And we know against Bucknell, they got 16. Yeah. So
right. Yeah. 24 points a first half, and that's what they had in the first half against BC the other night. And they are averaging 33 a second half. I'll say this. The final score of the BC game was indicative of the margin of the game. BC won by 12. And on that night, they were 12 points better. Now, DJ Newbill got better. He turned the ball over 6 times in the first half, none in the second half. That's the kind of progress you need to see. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Predictions coming up.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay. We've only had 5 guests on today. We apologize for the shortage after the 3 we had yesterday and the 5 today. Kevin?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, time now for predictions.
That's my token moment. Yeah, yeah. Is that what it is?
Kevin's on the air. Steve, we do have a news flash coming in. University of Alaska at Anchorage is apparently joining the Sun Belt Conference in a major realignment. And the University of Maine Black Bears are going in partnership with the University of Montana Grizzlies to form a team taking on anybody in the country. So we'll have major realignments coming up all over the U.S.
The only thing is you have to have Bears in your nickname
exactly.
to be in the conference, right?
Sarah, time to take control. Show it's
okay.
Prediction time.
All right, I'm ready.
Thank goodness. No, I'll tell you right now, you have an entire audience that's going, oh, good.
Thank you.
All right, we're starting with college, and Steve, you've already told us your Big Ten prediction, so. But we're doing Nebraska, Wisconsin.
Yes. Nebraska will win, and here's the reason why. Taylor Martinez is going to be the difference in this game because you're looking at a dual-threat quarterback that takes a lot of broken plays, which Wisconsin defensively will create. Expect Chris Borland to play in the game. Expect Jared Aberderis to play. Baker Steinkuhler will not play for Nebraska in this game. But with Burkhead, the spiritual leader, back, Abdullah will probably get the majority of the carries, but still having Burkhead there helps a lot. Martinez is really improved. What's not improved is that Joel Stave played very well against Wisconsin the first time, against Nebraska the first time. He can't play. Okay, and it'll be Kurt Phillips instead. Nebraska by 10. Better kicking game, too.
Nebraska by 10, did you say?
Yes.
The game is indoors, right?
Yes, it's at Lucas Oil Stadium.
So downtown Indianapolis. I'm going to go on the outlier on this one and say the University of Wisconsin. I think they're going to rebound strongly from last week. I think you're right, Steve. The kicking game is suspect, but it is inside. And that tends to help underperforming kickers coming inside from outside. And I just happen to like the Wisconsin coach a lot. Especially what he said about not recruiting Penn State players. So that's a sort of a bit of a homer view. So, mm-hmm. Wisconsin.
I like Nebraska by 14, although I think one of the more interesting things about this game is outside the stadium, there are 2 Indy cars that are currently parked out there for people to see for the Big Ten celebration that's going on. That's what I think is very interesting.
You would. I'm in for Nebraska. And we move on to Alabama, Georgia.
Thank goodness.
Hey, somebody has to remind you, Steve, that IndyCar is coming to Pocono, and you're going to the race.
Okay. Great. Let's get to this game. Alabama. All right. I'm going to go with them to win this game. I think defensively that's the big difference in this one, throwing Andy Murray a little bit off his game. Question is, Alabama's really banged up at wide receiver. They're going to really depend. I'll tell you that T.J. Yeldon, I think, is just a great young running back. I think he's a difference maker in this game.
I think the better team by a comfortable margin is from the state of Alabama.
You know, I like that. I like that quarterback there for Georgia. I really do. And
Andy Murray.
Yeah, I really like him a lot.
I thought he played tennis. Or is that another Andy Murray? Is he just?
I like him a lot too. Okay. If that counts for anything.
Okay.
But yeah, I like him a lot. I think if he gets comfortable and gets set, it's going to be a very, very rough game for Alabama to win. I like Georgia in this one.
Yikes! I'm agreeing with Kevin. I'm going. I know. Things got crazy, but I'm going to go with Georgia in this one too.
Have you gone insane?
No, listen. That's how I feel. Stanford.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah, and I'm good at this. Stanford UCLA. That game I think is tonight.
As tonight, and Stanford is. It's the second straight week they've had to play. Stanford's the better team. Stanford plays style-wise like a Big Ten team. They just do. And I like their style, and I think David Shaw is an outstanding coach. Stanford wins.
Stanford wins. I've always gone with the team with the higher IQ. I picked them over Oregon. And yet they're a smash-mouth kind of a team. They're an in-your-face team, and I think UCLA is still licking their wounds from the last time the two met.
You know, Stanford, you can make an argument that they're maybe one call away from being a shot at a national championship right now. I think you have to go with Stanford on this one.
Stanford. Yeah. Kansas State, Texas.
Don't like either team, to be honest with you. I really don't. I don't like either team. I thought the Texas laid a big egg against TCU. I think Kansas State laid a big egg against Baylor.
Yep.
I think this game's in Austin, correct? I'll go with Texas because they're the home team.
We'll call this the Omelet Bowl then, and I go with K-State. I like their coach a lot, and don't know about their players, but they have a great coach.
Listen, one of the things is it's very tough in Austin to play in Austin. The crowd gets very, very rowdy at that in Austin, especially when they have a big home game. As much as I think I like K-State, I think I have to take the home field there and take the 3 points.
I'll go with Texas as well, and we'll wrap up college with Georgia Tech, Florida State.
Yeah, Georgia Tech goes to a bowl game regardless and could go there with a 6-7 record. In fact, I predict they will go to the bowl game with a 6-7 record. I think Florida State beats them by 3 touchdowns.
That option attack by Georgia Tech is going to get smothered by the Seminoles.
Yeah, that Seminoles easy in that one.
Same. All right, should we move on to the NFL?
Okay.
Let's do it.
Are they playing?
All right, yeah. Okay, we'll start with the Eagles-Cowboys, a game that will be broadcast on our sister station, Eagle 107.
Dallas, no need to elaborate.
Are the Eagles still in the NFL, or will they get their charter revoked, Dallas? NFL commissioner announces Eagles no longer in NFL.
Yeah, Dallas wins this one, unfortunately.
All right, I'm going to be the odd person out. I'll go with the Eagles. Nick Foles.
I was trying
step
to.
Up.
I really wanted to say, you know, sooner or later, odds are in your favor that you're going to have to win.
That's what I thought.
But I just don't see it being this week.
Giants, Redskins.
Interesting game. This game is going to be in at FedEx this time. RG3 is playing great. Eli Manning came off the bye week and looked like Eli Manning again with 3 touchdown passes.
Washington swept the Giants last year, but New York won the opener and really frustrated RG3. I'm interested to see the kind of adjustments he makes. The Giants might be the best road team in the NFL. I'll go with the Giants.
Henry Hynoski brings his winning tradition from Southern Columbia to the NFL. Go with the Giants. Yeah, for no other reason.
I was going to say.
I'll tell you right now. You know what? One quick thing I want to say in all seriousness. Henry Hynoski might be the best fullback in the NFL. I don't see another fullback that blocks the way he does, that leads the way he does. And I think, you know, you see him out of the backfield making plays in the passing game. He might be the best fullback in the NFL.
And he knows how to pick up the occasional fumble at the right time as well.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think there's going to be a lot of excitement in this game, and I think Redskins fans are going to be very excited because there's a Chevy dealer in the D.C. area that's giving away. If you bought a car this week, and you put your name in a drawing, if the Redskins shut out the Giants, they're going to give away 8 cars. You get reimbursed for the amount you paid for your vehicle. Now, the Redskins have not shut anybody out since 91.
Sarah.
Yes.
Sarah. Okay. Is Grey Goose the sponsor of this?
Maybe in that room it is.
I kid you not. That's exactly what this is. There's a promotion going on. You get reimbursed if you're one of the 8 lucky winners, but only if the Redskins shut out the Giants. I don't think they'll shut them out, but I think they win it.
Okay, I'm going to go with the Giants. I like RG3, though, and I like the way he plays, but I think the Giants have this one. Moving on to the Ravens-Steelers.
It'll be the Ravens. I think Ray Rice is actually the difference maker in this game. There's been so much talk about the quarterbacks with Charlie Batch, Joe Flacco, and so forth. One team has Ray Rice, the other team doesn't. Ray Rice has a good day, the Ravens win. If the Steelers can somehow get control on Ray Rice, then they put themselves in a position to win. But Ray Rice is not only just effective as a running back, you know, and forget the 4th and 29. Ray Rice has always been really good as a receiver out of the backfield and a very difficult matchup for linebackers on him. I think he's the swing guy.
Coach Tomlin has decided to play without a quarterback. They're going to the single wing offense. They don't need Charlie Batch. So even with that, I think they just come up short.
Ben Roethlisberger has been ruled out for this game. Which did bring a tear to my eye. Jonathan Dwyer, though, is going to be the starting running back for the Steelers. Now, last week he did not look good, but, boy, I'll tell you what, when he is on, he really attacks a defense, and he reminds you a lot of Jerome Bettis when he hits the line of scrimmage and the way he finishes runs. He's going to need to have a good game. No, let me rephrase that. He's going to need to have a great game against the Ravens to keep possession of the football and keep the Ravens' offense off the field. I can't do it. I cannot pick the Ravens. I'm going to pick the Steelers. The words just don't come out of my mouth. I can't do it.
I knew
it. Once again, today's prediction segment sponsored by Grey Goose.
I just couldn't do it.
I clearly am going with the Ravens. I think it's going to be the second ugly game between the Ravens and Steelers.
Listen, the Steelers, as I said, their hope is play defense and play perfect defense and, you know, maybe get a pick 6, and that'll be the difference in the ballgame. I think that's the only way it happens.
Vikings-Packers.
Green Bay's really struggling with its offensive line right now. I think it's very easy for people to pick Green Bay to beat Minnesota. Minnesota has a really good running game. Adrian Peterson's had a great year. Funny thing is, you have to go with Peyton Manning as comeback player of the year instead of Adrian Peterson. Why? Peterson's only missed one game. I mean, people forget that, but he missed one game. Manning missed an entire season, but Peterson's having a great year. Allen could really unload in this game for the Vikings, yet I will pick Green Bay because I'm going to go with the Aaron Rodgers factor. If they give him just enough time, especially with Greg Jennings back in the lineup this week, which he is, I think Green Bay gets the call.
Green Bay does not have a bad defense either. I like the Packers.
The Vikings win this game. They put themselves pretty much in control, or at least give themselves a really good shot at the division championship. And with this game being played...
What? Over the Bears?
I'm sorry, a playoff spot. I said division championship. I apologize. Thank you for correcting me. It gives them a playoff spot, a possibility of a playoff spot, because they would hold the tiebreaker over the Packers at that point. So thank you for correcting me. But I think the Vikings have a lot at stake in this game. If they want to keep their season going, they win this one by just by about a field goal.
Look, I know you felt a little left out of the five interviews today. So.
I will pick the Packers because I only like one purple team.
I can't wait till we get to the Kentucky Derby. I love the blue silks.
I like to go with the gray horses because they just look faster.
Bengals Chargers.
You know what? Cincinnati is on a roll right now and playing very well. Andy Dalton has really picked it up, played well. A.J. Green in the groove, defensively playing better. San Diego is slumping. Let's see. And let's go to the determining factor of the game. Which team has Norv Turner? All right. Cincinnati is the call.
The other team gets bonus points for playing against the Norv Turner team. It's got to be the Bengals, and they're motivated to go a long way.
Bengals definitely in the hunt for the playoffs as well. Notice I said playoffs and not the division this time, so I did say it correctly. I think the Bengals win this one, but it kind of hurts me to say that too.
I agree, and I'll go with the Bengals. We'll go to Texans and Titans.
Houston and Atlanta are two teams that are playing at a very high level. Find ways to win, but are extremely underappreciated by the public. Texans win this game. They'll win so by at least 10, even though they're having a lot of injury problems at linebacker right now. If they had Brian Cushing, this team would be a lock to win every game.
They're just playing, having a remarkable season, there's no doubt about it. And they bring a whole variety of ways to win a game, and that's just going to keep happening. Titans can't keep up with them.
Texans have not lost a game in the AFC. They are 10-1, 8-0 in the conference. I like the Texans.
And the Texans. Colts and Lions.
Okay. Colts and Lions. Hard game to call. This is one of the tougher games to call, in my opinion. Detroit certainly played so much better on Thanksgiving Day, and they do have the extra time to get ready. Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson finally have found the end zone together in this thing. And yet I look at the Colts, and what Andrew Luck has done is remarkable. I'll roll with it a little bit. I'll go with the team that is a little bit desperate in this one. I'll take Detroit, but I think it's one of the better games of the weekend.
Okay, that means going to be a down-to-the-wire game. I think Indianapolis pulls it out in the end. Okay.
I like Andrew Luck a lot.
Boy.
A lot. I mean, his head is always up, always looking to make a play downfield. Now for the Bacardi pick.
Listen, Andrew Luck looks comfortable. In the last couple of games, he's looked comfortable. He's looked confident. They win. The Colts win this one.
I agree with the Colts, and I like these rookie quarterbacks a lot.
No, this is a great crop of rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
In fact, I think the crop of quarterbacks the last 2 years have been really good in the NFL and bodes well for the future.
But the Steelers still can't find a backup.
No, they can't. Before we do the rest of the picks, let's take a break. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Brewers Outlet wants you to enjoy the great outdoors, your favorite sports team, and especially Jenny Beer for 41 cents a can. 24 packs of Jenny and Jenny Light, only $9.95 a case. Labatt 16-ounce cans in 24 packs, just $17.97. That's under $4.50 a six-pack.
Compare anywhere.
Ladies will get happy with a case of Seagram's Coolers, $21.98. And don't forget the fresh roasted peanuts and sample the pickle bar at Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street,
All right, predictions down the stretch we come.
Steve, before we get to that, another news flash coming in. Today, the Big East, they just announced, it's coming over the wire now, they have extended an invitation to Bloomsburg University and Shippensburg, I might add, to join them for next season in all sports.
And anybody else who has a football team.
Anybody with a team available to fill in some scheduling gaps is invited to join the Big East.
You have a pulse, you're in.
Yeah, you can play.
That's your qualification.
Seahawks, Bears.
Should be quite a game. Seattle has been, the people have said that Seattle is not a good road team, yet you look at what they've done this year on the road, one close game after another that have actually been lost in waning moments, fourth quarters, things like that. A lot of people talk about what Jay Cutler means. Look at what Russell Wilson has done. In his last five games, 12 touchdowns and just two interceptions. He's been phenomenal. I'm still going to go with Chicago, but Seattle's going to give them a run.
I was in Chicago to watch Robbie Gould kick a long field goal a few years ago to put the Bears in the NFC Championship game, which they won and went to the Super Bowl. And I think Robbie Gould is the difference, not that I'm prejudiced, on this game.
No, but I think you're right. He is the difference in this game. I think the quarterback thing is not the difference. Wilson's one hell of a quarterback. And I think Robbie Gould is the difference in this game, especially in conditions.
Yes. And if the weather conditions just are slightly like a big hurricane gale force off of Lake Michigan, Robbie knows the field. It's a very tough place for kickers coming in to kick.
Now for the Jack Daniels pick.
Yeah.
The Bears. That's it. You don't even need to analyze this one.
Yeah, I think the Bears take this one, too. And we'll go to the Niners-Rams.
It's going to end up a tie.
Play to a 24-24 tie. This will be the first time that we really get to see what kind of adjustments Colin Kaepernick makes, because the Rams did face him the first time. And that's one thing I'm interested to see with Colin Kaepernick, how the league adjusts and then how he adjusts to the league. San Francisco, I think, not only wins this game, I think they win this game big.
Niners, better coaching overall. Helps make those adjustments for Kaepernick.
I think Kaepernick needs to find his tight end a little bit more often. Vernon Davis, he's been underused all year, and I think the 49ers win this one anyway without having to go to overtime.
I think they'll rout him.
Yeah, I say San Francisco, and I'm on Team Harbaugh. Patriots,
wonder why.
Patriots, Dolphins. Let's see. Which team has Brady? Okay. New England.
New England.
And they're playing great right now. New England's really, really starting to pick it up.
They're getting ready for a playoff, yeah, a run.
No doubt.
This game eliminates the Dolphins from the playoff picture, New England.
And the Patriots. Jaguars and Bills.
Ugh. Oh, boy.
I'm going to go.
Is this game even on TV?
This is the Paul Posluszny Bowl. Jags won last week, but I think the Bills have more talent. They're the better team. I go with Buffalo.
I have to almost come to an abstention because I can't figure it out, but I'll go with the Podlesny team.
That would be Jacksonville.
Yep, exactly.
I go with the Bills.
I say the Bills take this one, too.
The Bills. Hey, listen, if the Jags win, then Eagles fans get excited because then the Eagles, Panthers, and Jags all are fighting for that first-round playoff pick next year.
All right, we have the Panthers and the Chiefs.
Oh, my goodness. This is another one where I'm not even – I mean, CBS is trying to sell the rights. I'm going to go with Carolina, fresh off a win. Maybe they have some momentum.
The NFL just accepted a bid of $1,000 to the Service Electric Cable TV company to run this one.
But the Big East invited the Chiefs to play.
Yeah.
Only word that comes to mind for this game is great googly muggly.
All right, we'll wrap that up.
Done for the week. Bobby, Kevin, Sarah, thanks.
See you, Steve.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Beverage Supermarket.